Today we're beginning here on the top of Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph by the new Perek. This Mishnah is familiar to us because we already quoted it back on Yud Ched Amud Bet, at least in part, which is a Mepelet Chaticha, a woman who discharges a chunk of something. Mieshima Dam, if it has Dam with it, Tmeya, then she is Tmeya, and as Rashi says over here, she is Tmeya Nida. We're not speaking about Leida over here because this isn't classified as a Leida. It's not an object which has enough form to it to be classified as a leida. So that's certainly not the issue at hand. The only issue at hand is whether this is dam nida. And so, according to the Tanakam and the Chachamim, if the chaticha, which we'll see later is chatichat basar, that is a piece of flesh or a chunk that's coming out, if it has dam, if it has blood on top of it, then it's tmeah, and that's tmeah nida. That obviously is in the case where she sees it during a period of time that it's not yimei ziva. With yimei ziva, she'd have a din like a zava, which is shomeret yom keneged yom, or if she has it 3 days in a row, she'll become a zava gedola. Either way, we're dealing with dam nida, or dam ziva, not dam leida. Imav, if there's no dam with it, then tahora, because you don't have a leida, you don't have nida, so then she is tahora. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ben kach u ben kach tmeya. Irrespective of whether there's dam with it or not, she is tmeya. And then we'll see the machloket in the Gemara that we also saw back on Daf Yud Ched as to what's the explanation for the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Amapelet kamin klipa, a woman who gives birth or discharges something that looks like a klipa, like a husk or a shell of something. Kamin se'ara, or like a hair. Kamin afar, or it looks like earth. Kamin yavchushim, Rashi says yitushim, like mosquitoes or small insects. Adumim, red. The truth is, the way the Mishnah reads adumim seems to be modifying yavchushim, although the truth is it's probably modifying everything that we said until now, because it only makes sense to have a chashash or a question about this if it is red. These are very small items that are being discharged. So if they're red, then there's reason to be suspicious that there is some dam that's coming out over here. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to be suspicious. Etilamayim, so then you put it into water. Imnimuchu, if they dissolve, tmeya. Then we assume that it was dam, and because of dissolution of the item, it was just hardened or coagulated dam. The Gemara will give the recipe for what you put it in order to have it dissolve. Imlav, if it doesn't dissolve, then tehora. Then she is tehora, seemingly tehora the gamre, because it's not dam nida, as well as the fact that it's not a leidat. There's not a significant enough of an item here to classify it as being a leidat. Hamapelet v'kimin dagim, chagavim, shkatzim v'ramasim. If she gives birth to things that take the shape or form of a fish, a locust, creepy crawly things, all those items, im yeshimahem dam tmeya. If there is dam with them, then she is tmeya. Im lav, if there is no dam, she is tehora. Once again here, these are not classified as a leida because they don't have a form that would make it that it is a leida. So once again, the question is she a nida or not? If there's dam with it, and she has dam nida, there's a sighting of dam from the mekor, and therefore she'll be tmeya. If not, then she is tehora. Over here, we don't test the item to see whether it dissolves or doesn't dissolve. That's likely because it already has some sort of shape or form to it. It's not that we're thinking that that item is dam. We're just thinking that that item could have dam that came with it, but not that it itself is the dam, as opposed to before where you had much smaller items where they could actually be the dam themselves. Hamapelet min behema chayav ha'of. If she miscarries, discharges something that looks like an animal or a bird, ben tmeim ben tohorim, whether it's non-kosher or kosher, im zachar, teshev bezachar. If it has a form that is a male, then she has tumat leida, like a zachar. Im nekeva, who's a female, teshev lenekeva. Im eni yadua, if she doesn't know what it was, a male or a female that she discharged, teshev bezachar ulenekeva. She has the chumrah to both the zachar and nekeva, which means 2 weeks of tuma as the chumrah for the nekeva. And then whatever remains until the 40th day, the remaining 26 days, she'll have dam toar like a zachar, but that'll be it for her. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is Shita Rabbi Meir, who says that a woman who miscarries animals or birds, she has a din of leida. And the Gemara will discuss the fact that he learns that from the word vayitzer, that they have tzura, and they are similar to human beings in that way. Chachamim omrim, kol shein bo mitzurat adam ein ovlad. Chachamim, on the other hand, have an opinion that it's got to have a human-like quality to it in order to be considered a vlad. And so even those behemot in the previous listing, the b'nei machaya and of, are not considered to be a leida. And the only question, again, would be whether there was dam that came out with it or didn't come out with it. Is she tmeya nida or is she tehora? Now, Gemara quotes the Gemara that, again, we saw back on Yudchet Amud Bet, which is Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel, lo timei Rabbi Yehuda el rechaticha shel haba minei damim. That Rabbi Yehuda is only mitamei the chunk or the chaticha that is expelled by the woman if it is colored in one of the four colors that we saw in the previous Mishnah, which are tmeim for dam nida. So even though it's a solid object, it's got to be an object that takes on the color of what would be dam, because then we can assume that somehow dam is either captured in it or it is dam itself, and that's why she is tmeya. Aval shel shar minei damim, but as a color that's not like the other damim, tehora, then it is tehora. So Shmuel simply says that Rabbi Yehuda has a qualification of his position, which is that the discharge has to have a certain color in order for it to be true that you are tmeya, despite the fact that there's no liquid dam over there. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan amar, shalabat minei damim, divrei hakol tmeya, that if it's out of the four colors that are tmeim for dam, that everybody agrees. Chachamim also agree in that point that it is, that she is tmeya, because we assume whatever she discharged was dam. Shashamine damim, on the other hand, if it was any other color of dam, divrei hakol tohura. Here, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that she is tohura. So then where is their machloket? Elashi pila ben yodat mayapila. In a case where she discharged, and she has no idea what she discharged. Rabbi Yehuda savar zil batarov chatichot. Go after the majority of discharges. Rov chatichot shel arbat minei damim havyon. And the majority of discharges have the color of the four colors of blood that we consider to be problematic, l'nida. And so you can go follow that rov, and that rov will dictate over here. Rabbanan sabre lo amrinim rov chatichot shel arbat minei damim. We don't say that. We don't say that the majority of discharges of this type have a color that is similar to the colors of damim that are tmeim for a nida. So the question here is, what are the chachamim arguing on? If you look in Rashi, it seems to be that they have a fundamental machloket, which is lo itchazak lan hayruba. We don't have such a rov. Sounds like they're just arguing on a probability side and saying we don't see that type of probability. We don't have a majority of women discharging that. Now, you could argue they don't have a big enough sample size, which is also what Rashi might be saying, which is lo itchazak lan. We don't have enough evidence to determine the probabilities over here, and so we don't have a large enough sample to know that that is the rove. But either way, that's a argument in mitziut. It's not an argument halachically. The Bali Tosafot then ask, okay, according to the Chachamim, we don't hold it's a rove, at least make it 50-50. Well, if it's 50-50 of safek, and we know the din of safek tumah b'shuti yachid is tameh. So why don't they just say it's tameh because it's a safek, but not because it was rov chatichot? So how do you explain the sheet of the Chachamim who say that she is tehora over here? So he says that v'yesh lomar, and this is based on what we saw back on Daf Yudchet Amud Bet, that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, this rov over here is not a rov gamur, but rather it's a rov misafik, which is that Rabbi Yochanan, if you remember, gave the list of three items, b'tumat ha'isha, b'leida, that where we said that a rov or a safek is treated like a vadai. And then he said, what does that come to exclude? Came to exclude Rabbi Huda's position in this case over here. Because Rabbi Huda's position in this case is that even though it's a safek, even though it's a rov, we don't treat it like a vadai. We leave it as a safek. So why would you leave it as a safek? If it is a rov, it should be treated like a vadai. Must be that the rov of Rabbi Huda here is much weaker than a regular rov. But that means on a percentage basis, the robe here is not a distinct robe. It's not over 75%. Maybe it's 51, 52%. Maybe that's what it means. Or you have the offsetting issues, which are the fact that if the robe are that way, you have a miut on the other side of that. Plus you have the cheskat tara of the isha. So if you add the cheskat tara of the isha plus the miut, then that might stand up against this rope. It might not win or dictate, but at least it's a 50-50 suffix in that case. Once it's a 50-50 suffix, then you can talk about it being tuma mi safek and not tuma mi vadai. But given that that's shitat Rabbi Yehuda, then even for the chachamim, once we say there's no rove here, they're going to say that it's not even a safek. It doesn't even reach the threshold of 50-50. And then Tosafot at the end adds, v'adarabba, rove chatichot lav shel dalad minei damim heim, which sounds a little bit like what we saw in Rashi. Then in the end, the chachamim basically say that there isn't such a rove. And here it sounds like, again, it's a mitziud question, that it's not a rove, because we don't find evidence that there is a majority of women discharging this type of chaticha. Hini, is that really the way their machloket stands? V'akiyata Rav Hoshaya minarda, atavaita matznita biyadei. When Rav Hoshaya came from Narda, he brought this bright along with him. Amapelet chaticha aduma, someone who discharges a chaticha that is red, shkora, black, yiroka, yellow, ulevana, or white. Im yeshema dam tmeya. If it has dam with it, then it's tmeya, tumat nida. Im lav, tohora. Otherwise, she is tohora. So now this presents a problem, as you can imagine, because it mentions red and black as the colors, which are two of the colors that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah with regards to dam tameh. So this is a chaticha that does have a color of damim that would otherwise be tmeim. Yudomer ben kach ben kach tmeya. Either way, she is tmeya. Kasha l'shmol b'chada, or Rabbi Yochanan mitarte. This braita presents an issue for Shmuel, at least with one regards to one issue, and for Rabbi Yochanan with regards to two issues. L'shmol b'chada, problem Shmuel in one issue is damar Shmuel, lo timei Rabbi Yehuda, ela b'chaticha shel abat minei damim. That he's only mitamei when it has the color of one of the four damim that are tmeim. Ba'atani, despite that fact, the braita says, when it's yiruka or levana, when it's yellow or white, Upalig Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda still says it is Tamei. So despite the fact that it's not one of the four Damim, he still says Tamei. If you think that Rabbi Yehuda only argues on the two cases where they have Damim that are the color of something that would be a Nida, Vayiroka, Valivana, Lo, and he doesn't argue on the yellow and the white, and he agrees with the Chachamim, Eliyiroka, Levana, Leman, Ketanila. So then why bother to write yellow and white? Ilema Rabbonon, if you wrote it for the Rabbonon, Hashta Aduma Ushchora Mitahare, Rabbonon, in the case of red and black, they are Mitahare, which are colors that are problematic in terms of Nida. Despite that fact, they say you are Tahor, Yiruka Ulevana, in the case of yellow and white, Biboye, you have to tell me? If, when you have a Chaticha, that is the color of the Mim that are problematic, and you still say it's Tahor, then if you have a chaticha, that's one of the colors that's not problematic, then certainly it's tahor. So according to the Rabbanan, I don't need you to tell me about yellow and white, because you already are saying your chiddush in the red and black. Elalav the Rabbi Yehuda. The only reason the Braita mentioned yellow and white is because of Rabbi Yehuda. Upalig. And he disagrees and says it is tamei. So that qualification of Rabbi Yehuda's position, that only if it's made up of the four damim, a color of the four damim, is it Tamei? The Braita seems to say otherwise. V'tu, the Rabbi Yochanan, in addition to the question that we asked in Shmuel, which is also a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan has an additional problem, Damar, Shabbat minei damim divrei hakol tmeya, that he says, according to everyone, when you have one of the four damim, it's tmeya, haktani aduma ushchura, the Braita says red and black, uplige rabbonon. And despite that fact, the Rabbanan argue and say you need to have dam on it in order for it to be problematic. Absent the dam, it's not. Now, the next part of the Gemara, it could be that it's not part of the Gemara and was just added in. We can read it, but just know that Bali HaTosafot speak about whether this should be in the Girsa or not. If you want to say the Rabbanan only argue on the white and yellow discharge, that's where they say it's Torah, absent dam on top of it. Avala duma ushkora. On the red and the black, lo, they don't disagree and they think it is tamei. Ela duma ushkora, the man ktonilo. Why did the bright bother writing black and red? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda. If it's for Rabbi Yehuda, ashe iruka ulevana tmeya. If he already says that the yellow and the white are tmeim, then aduma ushkora mibai. Then the black and the red, what do you need to tell me? Elalav, it must be that the Aduman Shchura are written for the Rabbanan's position. And if that's the case, Uplige, they argue and say that it is Tahor. That presents an additional problem for Rabbi Yochanan. For Shmuel, the lighter colors are a problem because Rabbi Yehuda is mitameh that. It's also a problem for Rabbi Yochanan as well. The Chachamim are a problem for Rabbi Yochanan because even though you have items that are black and red, the Chachamim still say that you are Tahor. Elamar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Be'efshad b'ticha dekever below dam kamif legei. He brings a third option as to what the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is in the Mishnah. We had Shmuel, then we had Rabbi Yochanan, now we have Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. And he says the question at hand is, can you have a discharge from the womb without there being dam that also exits with that discharge? When you have a discharge, the womb has to open. That the petach harechem, the mouth of the womb, has to open to allow the discharge to leave or to come out of the woman. At that point in time, is there also a given that dam will flow? Just because the mere fact that the retachem has opened, that allows the dam to flow out. So do we say that no matter what, when a discharge comes out, there's always dam with it? Or do we say there's a possibility of opening up the mouth of the rechem without there being a discharge of dam? Uplugta dani tanaei, and it's similar to another machloket tanaim that we have, the Tanya. Kishita shnaim, she was having difficulty, birth pangs for 2 days, and having sighting of dam and contractions for 2 days. Foolishly she, hipila. And on the third day, she has a miscarriage. Vanyo dat ma hipila, and she has no idea what she miscarried, or it was unclear as to what she miscarried. Rezo safek leida, safek ziva. She's in a position by which we don't know if she had birth or whether she is a zava gedola. Meviak korban veinu nechal. She brings a korban for leida ziva, and it's not eaten. Rabbi Yeshua omer meviak korban v'nechal. She brings a korban and it can be eaten. She efshar l'pticha dekever below dam. It's impossible for the womb to open without there being a discharge of dam. So what's important here is that this is an aggregation of a number of halachot that we've seen already. The first of which is that dam that comes out of a woman in a prelude to birth, that dam is not tamei, tumat ida or tumat ziva. It's part of the leida. And that dam is considered to be dam leida. As long as those birth pangs and contractions go straight into the leida without any cessation for 24 hours. If there's a break for 24 hours, that's not true. But absent that break, then we assume that those birth pangs and discharges are connected to the leida, and whatever dam came out was part of the leida. On the other hand, if there is no leida, or there was a cessation for 24 hours before you had the leida, then that dam that was discharged before is either dam nida or dam ziva, and then it'll have the ramifications in tuma of being dam ziva. So in our situation where the woman had birth pangs for 2 days and went straight into a birth, so then we could associate the dam with the birth because there was no break in between. And therefore you could assume the dam from the pangs and birth and the contractions beforehand was connected to the leida. But that all assumes that there was a leida. That we don't know here. Here we don't know whether there was or was not a leida. So if there was a leida, then the dam beforehand was part of the leida and the woman has to bring a korban for being a yoledet. And the korban for yoledet is an olah and a chatat. And the chatat is a chatat of. So for that reason, you're going to have to bring a chatat of. The other possibility is that she had tzad dam from those 2 days. On the third day, she miscarries. On that third day, since the miscarriage was not a leida, it wasn't an entity that we considered a leida. That means she didn't have a leida, and she had sighting of dam for 3 days in a row during Yermei Zivah. Then she's a zava gedola. Zavah Gedolah requires Shiva Nikiim, and at the end of the Shiva Nikiim, she just brings a korban of an olat of and a chatat of. So in that case, you have the same korban for the leida and the ziva. So then you should say, mimon of shoch, she should bring the korban, and it should be able to be eaten. Problem is that there's a third possibility. The third possibility here is that she is neither a leida nor a zava, but rather she is tehorah. And that is because on the third day, when she had the miscarriage, she had no sighting of dam. She had 2 days of dam before that, of sighting during the birth pangs and contractions. on the third day, she has a discharge of some sort, this miscarriage, and there was no evidence of dam. So the question is, maybe now, she had 2 days before where she'd be a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, doesn't have a third day of dam. That third day of dam being absent makes it that she's not a Zavah Gedola, and therefore she's not Chayavet a Korban at all. Not for Leida, not for Zivah. Given that third possibility, you can't eat the Chatat Ov. Because the Chatat Ov could be for Leida, could be for Ziva, or it could be unnecessary, and therefore the Chatat Ov is the only Chatat or Korban Chuvah that is brought ala Safek, and we allow it to be brought ala Safek because there's nothing that goes on the Mizbeach besides the Dam of the Chatat, but because of the way that the Chatat Ov is shechted through Malika, it is a Nevela unless it is a proper Korban. So the Kohanim can't eat it because we have uncertainty here. There's three different possibilities. Two of them require a Korban Chatat Ov. One of them does not. And that's a fake renders it that we can't eat this Korban. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and says there are only two Sfeikot here. Whether she is a Yoledet or whether she is a Zava. The option that she is Tohora doesn't exist. And the reasoning is because, as Rabbi Yeshua says, Ein Pticha de Kever below Dam. This item had to leave the womb. And since it had to leave the womb, then there was definitely dam that went with it, because it's impossible for the womb to open without there being a discharge of dam. So according to him, there's only two options. Either it was a birth, or if it wasn't a birth, she is a zava. Because the third day when she had the miscarriage or the discharge, it clearly was associated with dam, because of the principle, ein pticha de kever below dam. Therefore, he believes that you bring the korban, and it is eaten, because it is a vadai. So that'll be the explanation of the machloket here as the Tanaim, which will then also be the explanation for the machloket of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah it's a case where there's a discharge, and the question is it Ptichat Kever with Dam or not? Chachamim say that it doesn't automatically mean that the Ptichat Kever comes with Dam, and therefore if it's a Chatichat that doesn't have Dam on it, she is Tohora. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda believes that you have to have dam when there's ticha de kever. Given that, the evidence that there is a chaticha here means there was also dam that discharged. And that's why he says, even without dam on it, or a liquid dam on it, he considers it to be a problem nida, irrespective of the color of the chaticha. Because it's not the chaticha itself that's the problem, it's that the discharge of the chaticha that opened the womb that causes other dam to exit with it. So that's the explanation for the machloket here between the Tanakam or the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, even though there is a difference between the position of the Chachamim in the Mishnah and in the Braita, because in the Mishnah, the Chachamim say she is Tohora the Gamre. Whereas in the case of the Braita, they say that it is a Safek. Safek Leida, Safek Ziva. So it seems to be that the cases are not exactly identical or parallel, because the Chachamim have a different view or different position with regards to the case of the Braita. And that's possibly because of the fact that maybe in the Braita, the discharge was bigger, whereas in the Mishnah, it was smaller. And so in the Mishnah, there's no question of Leida. And the question is there dam that went out with it? And Chachamim believe that that is not the case. You can have Ticha de Kever without dam. The other hand, here in the Braita, we're dealing with a much bigger discharge, whereby the discharge could be, number one, a Leida. Number two could be a Ziva. But because it was such a bigger piece, there we have a stronger suspicion that there was actually a discharge of dam here, even if you believe the womb could open without dam being discharged. But the larger the object gets, the more likely or the higher the probability that dam exited with it, because it has to open up wider to let out whatever it is that is being discharged. The Rashba also tries to explain the difference by suggesting that in the Mishnah, we know for certain that she had a hapala, and it's not a leida. And then if you add on top of that, like the Ramban says, that she has a Chezka Tara, over there the Chachamim are willing to be Mitaher the Gamre. In our case, where we have no information whatsoever, and therefore there is a greater Safek over here, maybe even a Sfek Sfeka, which would lead you to Chumrah to say that she should bring a Korban that should be eaten. So in that case, the Rabbanan are much more reluctant to say that she is Tohora. The Rashba does quote from Rashi that even the Chachamim in the Mishnah also don't mean Tohora the Gamre. They really mean that she is not Tamei Vadai, and then the Chachamim, the Mishnah, and the Braita would be akin. Now we have a Lishna Achrina, which is going to go very quickly because it's the same Gemara all over again. It just changes attribution a little bit, which is Amri La, Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Shmuel. It's the same member that we saw at the beginning of the Gemara. Lo Tzimei Rav Yehuda, Ela B'chaticha Shel Arba Minei Damim. Qualifies Rav Yehuda and says he only says that this chunk without liquid blood on it is Tamei Tumat Nida when it's got the color of one of the four colors of Dam Nida. But Shel Shar Minei Damim Torah, otherwise it would be Torah. Ini, is that really true? V'akiyat Rav Hoshaya Minar Da. Rav Hoshaya came in a Da, Tabayti Matnita V'yadeh, he brought a bright Da, Mepelet Chaticha Duma Oshchora Yeruka Ulevana. She discharges a chunk that is either red, black, yellow, or white. Mieshima dam tmeya. If it has dam on it, then she is tmeya tumat nida. Imlav teora. If not, she's considered to be teora. It's not a leida. It's not nida. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ben kach tmeya. Whether it has blood on it or not, she's tmeya. Tani, problem is, it says, aduma, ashkora, yiruka, ulevana, red and black, yellow and white, upalig Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda argues, even on white and yellow. If you think that Rabbi Yehuda only argues on the black and the red, about Yeruka Ulevana, whereas by the yellow and white, lo, that's not the case, Yeruka Ulevana, man k'toni lo, then who needs that in the Braita? Ilema the Rabbonon, you need to tell us the din of the Rabbonon, hashta duma u'shchora, when it's red and black, kamitare Rabbonon, the Rabbonon say it's tahor. Ruka ulevana biboi. In a case where it's the colors or shades that are tohrim, you need to tell me that the chamim think it's tohor. Elav Rabbi Yehuda, and it must be that it's brought down because of Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Upolig, and he argues, so that can't be the explanation of Rabbi Yehuda's position. That can't be the qualification of Rabbi Yehuda's position. Ella Amar seems to be Rabbi Yochanan over here, or Rabbi Yehuda, depending on the girsa. On the previous Amud, this was quoted in the name of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Over here, it's either in the name of Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yehuda. And in addition to that, in this Lishna, there's no position that Rabbi Yochanan proffers. He doesn't offer the explanation of the possibility that it is, everybody agrees by the four minei damim. Everybody agrees by the dam that is of a different color. And the only difference between them is in a case where she had a discharge and she doesn't know what she discharged, do we go after the robe or not? That's absent in this Lishna. So now the suggestion is the same answer we gave before. They're arguing about whether you can have the womb open without there being a discharge of blood. And it's similar to a machloket tanaim that we have seen. She's having difficulty, birth pangs, sightings of dam, contractions for 2 days. On the third day, she has a miscarriage. No sighting of dam, just a miscarriage. And she has no idea what she discharged. We have a problem here. She might be a yoledet. She might be a zavag dola. And she might actually be tehora, according to this view. So mevia korban veinu nechal. She brings her olatof, which you can bring, no problem. Because that can be brought as an edavah. You can make a tanai on it, but you also bring your chatatof. But it's not eaten because it's a chatatof that was brought ayidei ha-safeg. Rav Yehoshua Omer mevia korban v'nechal. She brings the korban and it's eaten. It's impossible for the womb to open without dam. Once you have dam in the picture, it's either dam leida or dam ziva. There's no longer an option to say that she is tehora. Given that, then you can eat the bird because it's a vadai korban. It's either a korban for the zavag dola or it's a korban for the yoledet. So now there are two quick things to discuss here. One of which is that we saw before in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi that Avra Benar, she crosses through a river, Ve Pila, and discharges something, Mevia Korban Venechal. We bring a Korban and it's eaten, because Aleicha Karov Nashim, Rov Nashim, Blad Ma'aliyah Va'le'al Dan. Because we go after the majority, and the majority of situations, a woman who has such a discharge, has a discharge that is classified as a Leida, and therefore we consider it to be Vadai Yoledet, and she brings a Korban and it's eaten by the Kohanim. So why is our case different over here? Over here she has a discharge, and yet we're not willing to go after that robe. So what you have to say is that the case of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi back on Yudchet Amud Bet is a case where she's muhzeket as pregnant. We already know she's pregnant. We know that there is a fetus inside. Then she has the discharge or the miscarriage. We assume that it was a vlad ma'alya and she is tmeya yoledet because given that she is pregnant, rove of pregnancies terminate in a leida. Now, whether that's a viable entity or not is a different story, but it terminates in a leida, what's considered to be halachically a leida. On the other hand, over here, it may be that she doesn't even know that she's pregnant. Or maybe we don't have certainty of the pregnancy at this point. And therefore, the discharge here, you can't rely on that robe. That robe pregnancies end with a leida that you can't apply over here because we don't even know if she was pregnant. And so that's why over here it's a safek as opposed to what we saw with Rabbi Shua ben Levi before where we said the robe turns into a vadai. That's one issue. The second issue is that this principle that ein ptichat hakefer b'li dam, is that only true when the item exits from internally? So that means that if something is exiting, we assume that the dam from the mekor goes out with that item. And so that's why ein ptichat hakefer b'lo dam is because the force or the pressure of whatever is exiting takes blood with it out. And that's why we have a question, is whether there is or isn't dam b'ptichat hakever. But if you were to open up the kever externally, if you opened it up by pushing some instrument into it from the external side, maybe there you would not have to say that there is ptichat hakever with dam, or is automatic. Or you could believe that it doesn't matter. As long as the kever opens, then the opening of the kever itself, by definition, means that dam is going to come out, irrespective of whether it's coming from the inside, the opening, or the opening of it's coming from the outside. It says big nafkaminot in terms of medical exams, gynecological visits, whereby if the doctor opens up the womb or enters the womb externally with an instrument, do we automatically assume that the woman is in nida now because of the ptichat hakever? So that would depend on this machloket in the Achronim as to whether the ptichat hakever is only true when it's from the internal side, not from the external side, or do we believe it doesn't matter whether it's internal or external. You could add a third issue to here, which is what type of opening do you need? Maybe if the instrument is so narrow, then that opening is not considered to be ptichat hakever. At what point do we say that it is considered to be a ptichat hakever? That evidence that we will see in the upcoming Gemara. But that should also be a factor here, which is how wide was it opened in order for it to be classified, or how wide does it need to be opened in order to be considered a ptichat hakever? And again, this has nafkaminot in terms of medical exams as to whether a woman automatically becomes a nida. Also with pap smears, that same question comes up in the poskim. So now, Tan Rabbanan, mapelet chaticha, a woman who discharges a chunk of something, Sumkus Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, Pekhenaya Rabbi Shim Ben Manasi Omer. So we have the position of Sumkus in the name of Rabbi Meir, and we also have Rabbi Shim Manasi saying the same thing, Kedvarav, Korah, you tear it open, Imyesh Dam Betucha, Tmeya. If there is Dam inside of it, then she is considered to be Tmeya. Vimlav, Teorah. If not, she's Torah. So this is Kirabonon. This is like the Shita of the Rabbanon in our Mishnah. Ve'adifa midrabanan, but it's even better or even more than them. Kerabonon damrei efshar the ptichat hakever below dam. The possibility exists that you could have the kever, the womb open, without there being a discharge of dam. That's why we don't automatically assume that she is tmeya. Ve'adifa midrabanan, but even better than the rabbanon. Dinu sabrei ima in bitochalo. The rabbanon believe only if there's external dam on the chaticha do we consider her to be a nida. But if it's internal dam, they don't consider that to be a nida or discharge of a nida. Even if the dam is enclosed inside this chaticha, still considered to be a discharge of nida. So that's what he's one step above the chachamim, or one step the chumrah, versus the chachamim, which is that even internal dam to the chaticha is considered to be dam nida. Yitani idach, we have another braita that says, I'm a pelet chaticha, same scenario, a chunk or basar was discharged, it's not a leida, vachomer kur'ah, you tear it open, im tocha madim tmeya. If internally it has a shade of red to it, then she is tmeya nida. Bimav Torah, if not, she is Torah. Kisumkus, this is like sumkus where internal blood has the impact of making her into nida. So that's like sumkus. Vadiva mi sumkus. But he's more machmir than sumkus because he doesn't even require liquid dam. He just requires a tint or a shade of red on the internal part of the chaticha. So as long as the coloration is that way, that's enough for you to be considered dam nida versus sumchus who required actual liquid inside of it. And it would seem that when we're saying here that it's red on the inside, it means it's not red on the outside. Because had it been red on the outside, that would be even more likely to be considered dam nida, even if it is not red on the internal side, the same way that dam on the surface would make your tmeya tmat nida, but not dam that's found internally, according to those that believe that the internal dam does not cause it to be tmeya tmat nida. Now we have a third view. A mapelet chatikha, woman who discharges a chunk of basar, Rabbi Binyamin Omer kor'a, you rip it open. Mieshba etzem, if there's a bone on the inside, imot mea leida, then she is considered to be tmea leida. So this is a new entry here, which is until now we just assumed that whatever came out was not a leida because it didn't have the form of a human being. But now he says if you discover a bone inside, that means that the development of this fetus went far enough along that we have something that is classified as a leida. If that's the case, then she'd be tamei tumat leida, something we haven't seen until now. Until now, we've only been talking about tumat nida. Here is the possibility that she's also tamei tumat leida. Amar Rav Chisda, ubichaticha levana. It has to be a case where the chaticha itself is white, because otherwise it's not basar. What we want here is that the basar together with the bone is classified as being a leida. But that only be true if it takes on the form or shape or color of what you would think is a fetus or a discharge. So here the basar has to be white, otherwise it's not basar. And that's what he qualifies the statement of Rabbi Binyamin with. The way it argues or reads, Rashi says zuga means a pair of Talmidei Chachamim came from Chadayav, which is a place in northern Syria near Mosul, near the Tigris River in northern Syria. It was actually towards the end of Bayit Sheni, an independent empire over there. We know that the king Munbaz and his mother Hilni Amalka were favorably inclined towards the Jews and actually gave tremendous financial support and even military support to the Jews in the rebellion against the Romans that led to the Khorban HaBayit. They also converted to Judaism, according to the Gemara and according to Josephus, and they were buried in Yerushalayim. They were an empire up by Chadayav, and obviously there was a Jewish presence in that area. Ata v'ayti matnita b'yadei. They came, and they had a braita in their hand. The problem here is that this Lashon is a Lashon Yachid, and not Lashon Rabim. So we do have instances like that in the Gemara, like the Torah does it by Bnei Yisrael, even though it's a plurality. Nevertheless, they'd still use Lashon Yachid because of the entity. So you could say Zuga Derabanan is an entity, and therefore you can use singular. On the other hand, if you look at Tosafot, he had a different Gersa in the Gemara, and the Gersa was Zuza and not Zuga. And he says it was the name of the Chacham. Zuza de min Chadayav. The Chacham, Zuza, who came from Chadayav, he brought the following braita, and that would explain why it's in the singular. Amapelet chatichat levana, a woman who discharges a discharge that is white, kora, you tear it open, umyeshba etzem imo tmea. If it has a bone in it, then the woman is tmea leida. And even though this seems like a non sequitur, because it has nothing to do with the previous braitot, the Tosafot over here suggests that the Gemara wanted to bring all the relevant braitot with regards to chatichot, and then it goes back afterwards to then figure out exactly what we have here with regards to the dam and nothing to do with the leida. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan never saw Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That's why it says Mishum. It's not that he's saying it directly in a Mesorah from Mishum bar Yochai, but Mishum means he has information that this is what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said. So he's bringing a member of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, but he didn't hear it himself from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Mapelet Chaticha. Woman that discharges a chunk, Korah, tears it open, and Yesh Badam, Agur Tmeya. If there is blood that is gathered or pooled there, she is Tmeya Tumat Nida, Lav Tehora. So that is a new requirement here, that has to be Dam Agur. Rashi says over here, Dam Agur is Dam Harbe. It means a lot of blood that is there. It's not just a little bit of blood, but it's a lot of blood. That might differentiate it from what we saw before, in the name of Sumchus, which is Korah, im yesh dam betochat tmeya. There, by Sumchus, he said, if you find blood in it, it's tmeya. might be that what Rashi is saying over here is that's the difference, which is that is dam harbe, that is a lot more blood. In this case, it's agur. It's pooled inside of the chaticha. Kusumkus, it is like sumkus, v'kila mikulu. It's similar to what sumkus said, that he says when it's dam betoko, then you're din of nida. Now, v'kila mikulon, but it is more makil than all of the other positions. Mida sumkus, it's even more kula than sumkus, because here you require agur. You don't just require blood, you need a pooling of blood. And obviously, mi rabbi acha, then it's a kula, because even if it has red inside of it, that's not enough to make you tmeyat matida. You need actually a pooling of blood for that to be the case. So in summary, there are four or five positions with regards to dam and a chaticha. They're the rabbanon of our Mishnah who either say tahor or maybe tamei misafei. They say only if there's dam externally on the chaticha. And according to some Rishonim, it has to actually be separate from the chaticha in order for it to be considered dam nida. And the Rabbanon's opinion, likely to say that it's Torah here, is either because, as the Tosafot says, ein darkaz, is not a normal way for a woman to discharge dam nida, or upcoming in the Gemara, we're going to see a possibility also that because the dam is not nogeya bibsara when it's internal, so then that's considered to be Torah unless it's external to the chaticha. On the other hand, you have here Rabbi Yochanan saying over from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that you need dam agur bitocha, you need actually blood pooled inside of it in order for it to be classified as dam nida, but smaller amounts of blood would not be the case. And based on the Tosafot, you might even say that if the dam is on the outside, then kol shekein, it should be considered to be dam nida, but maybe you would have to have a significant amount like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai suggests over here. This also is somewhat at odds with what Rabbi Yochanan said at the beginning of the sugya, that Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim agreed that if it has the marot dam of the four colors that make it into dam nida, then even the chaticha itself can be classified as dam nida. You have to reconcile between maybe Rabbi Yochanan's opinion versus his explanation of the machloket in the Mishnah, or vice versa, Rabbi Yochanan's position versus his position in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. But they are somewhat at odds. You then have a third position, which is that of Sumchus. Sumchus, who says that dam internally, you don't need a huge pulling of dam, but any dam internally is sufficient to make it tmeya tumat nida. And then you have Rav Acha, who says that even if it's just reddish on the inside, the chaticha, then that's enough to classify it as being dam nida. The other opinions here believe that the chaticha normally is classified as basar, but over here, where we have contrary evidence indicating that there is something amiss because of the coloration that looks like dam, there we're going to assume instead of it being basar, that maybe it's dam karush, that it's actually coagulated blood. And obviously the amount of evidence you need to that differs amongst those three opinions in order to classify it as dam nida versus a chaticha or basar. By mine, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zerah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah queried of Rabbi Zerah, Roed dam bishpoferet mau. If a woman sees dam in a tubing, what is the din? Again, this medical issue now, which is that if you insert a catheter into the woman, and then dam flows out from the makor through the catheter, is she tmeyah tumat nida? What's the question? Bibsara amar rachmano. The Torah says that when she is tmei nida, Isha kitiye zava dam iye zova bibsara. Shivat yamim tiye benidata kol nogea ba yitma ad arev. So you see here in the description of the nida, it's isha kitiye zava dam, that dam that is being expelled, exuded by the woman, iye zova bibsara. That flow or that expulsion should be bibsara in her basar. And that's the question here. What's the meaning of the bibsara? In her flesh. Does that mean bibsara marachmana, that has to be in her flesh, velo bishpoferet, and not in a catheter, not in a tube? O dilma hai bibsara mi boile, maybe we need the bibsara to teach you another din, which is shetmeya bibifnim ki bachutz, that she's tmeya internally like she is externally. As Rashi points out here, this is distinct or contrasted with a zav or with a valkeri. A zav and a valkeri are only tmeim once the liquid leaves the body, when it is expelled by the body. So it has to leave the human's body before it makes you tamei. Then by Nida, the dam does not need to leave her body in order for Shir to be Tmeah. It has to leave the Rechem, the womb. So this is what we spoke about in the first parak. There's a delay because the womb, or the opening of the womb, is into the vaginal canal. And then you have the vaginal canal to the outside. So there is a delay between the release of the dam from the Makor until it leaves the body of the woman. Biv Sarah comes to teach you that you can be a Nida internally. Internally means once the dam is discharged from the womb, but it's still inside the woman, she is Tmeah. So maybe that's what Biv Sarah comes to teach us. So if that's what it's for, then you don't have it available to teach you that the dam has to touch her basar in order for it to be dam Nida. Samalei, Biv Sarah marachmana velo bishvoferet. It has to be that you learn it Biv Sarah and not in a catheter or tube. D'i Biv Sarah mi bayile. Because if you need Biv Sarah, like you just said, to teach you, Shemitama bifnim bibachutz, imkei neimar kara, then the pasuk just should have said, Bisara, my Biv Sarah. Why did you need Biv Sarah? Shmamina tarte. You can learn both things out from here. The number one is Biv Sarah, that she's tmeah, even inside or internally. Biv Sarah comes to teach you, not only is it internally, but she has to touch her in order for it to be tmeah. That means if the dam doesn't touch her, it would not be Tmeah. If you catheterize the woman and take dam out from the Makor, she's not going to be Tmeah, according to this. Bama Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimba Yochai. Wait a minute, is that really true? What about the memro that we just brought from the Braita? Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Shimba Yochai, Mapelet Chaticha, she discharges a chunk of something, Korah, you have to tear it open, Yeshba Dama Gur Tmeah. If there's blood pooled in there, then she is Tmeah Tumat Nida. Vimlav Teorah, otherwise she is Torah. And you see from there that the blood does not need to touch the woman for her to be a Nida. Simply the discharge of the item with the blood inside of it makes it a Nida. And it never touched her because it was inside the Chaticha when it exited the woman. Where it says, Achiyashta. How can you compare those cases? Hatam Darka Shalisha the road Dam Bechaticha. Over there, it's normal for a woman to see Dam inside of a chunk of basar that is exiting. I think you could say it in a more precise form. Rashi does that a little bit and says that min b'min olo chayitz, that first of all, this is basar, and basar is touching basar. So min b'min olo is not considered to be a chatzitza. So even if you need the dam to touch the basar, in the end it touched basar that touched basar. And that may be considered to be as if it is touching, or the way that you can formulate it is that it's not a foreign object. And since it's not a foreign object, that dam is considered to be as if it went out b'vsarah. Ha'cha ein darkash l'isha, they wrote dam b'shvoferet. On the other hand, with regards to the tube or the catheter that's put in there, a woman doesn't normally see dam through a catheter. Whether that means there's a chatzitza now, because it's a foreign object that's in there, or whether that is just, this isn't a normal type of sighting that you have as a nida. So the Gemara says, le'mash v'oferet tanayehi. Let's say that this issue of catheterization is a machloket tanaim, the Tanya. Mapelet chaticha, woman who discharges a chaticha, apopishim malei adam, even though it's full of blood, im yeshim adam tmeah, only if it has external dam is she tmeah, vimlav torah, otherwise she is torah. Rabbi Eliezer omer, bibsara, velo b'shvir, velo b'chaticha. It has to be on her basar, or in basar, not in a sack, and not in a chunk of discharge. So either one of those would not be considered that she is Tameh Tumat Nida. Rabbi Eliezer, Hainu Tanakama. How's Rabbi Eliezer different than the Tanakama? He also requires, it seems, that the dam touch the woman, and otherwise she is Tehora. Ema Shit, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Bibsara, Shlomo Shafir, Veloba Chaticha, meaning that Rabbi Eliezer is the explanation for the reasoning behind the position of the Tanakama. But then we have a third Tana in the Braita, which is Chachamim Omrim, and they disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and say, Ein ze dam nida el dam chaticha, that that's not considered to be dam nida, but rather it's the dam of the chaticha. Now, based on this explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, it'll turn out that we actually have three opinions with regards to dam shib shvoferet and dam shib chaticha, and that is that Rabbi Eliezer believed when the dam is found in a shvoferet, there it's excluded because it is a foreign entity, or it's a chatzitza, or it's not the derech of the dam to exit that way. And he similarly believes that that's true by dam that's found in a chaticha. So he's mitayar both the shvoferet and dam that's found in a chaticha. On the other hand, we saw before that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai differentiates between dam that's found in a chaticha, whereby we don't consider it to be a either a chatzitza are not a derech of a discharge or an indication that there's something different about this. And therefore, he believes dam bechaticha is considered to be dam nida, whereas dam bishpoferet, he agrees, is not problematic and is considered to be dam tahor. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai believes that bitzara only applies to something like a shpoferet, but doesn't apply to a chaticha. And the truth is that the machloket between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Eliezer as to the drosha of bibsara might revolve around what exactly it means, bibsara. Does bibsara mean that you actually have to have physical contact between the dam and the woman herself in order for it to be dam nida? And therefore, even min bibino doesn't solve your problem because you need direct contact. And that would be the view of Rabbi Eliezer, whereas Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai believes that bibsara just means that you have to be in something that is the same as the bibsara, and therefore the chaticha, which is min bimino, is fine, whereas the shpoferet, which is min sheino mino, is not fine because that's considered a chatzitza. And then we have the position of the chachamim, who do not subscribe to this limud of bibsara, and therefore they are mitamei dam that is yotze through a shpoferet, because they don't have that restriction of bibsara. On the other hand, when it comes out with a chaticha, it's not considered to be dam nida, not because there's a hefsek, a chatzitza, or some other problem of bibsara, but it's simply that the dam that's found in a chaticha is dam chaticha, not dam nida. And for that reason, she is not tmeah. So those are the three opinions. So Tanakama name tohore mehatahir. Wait a minute, what does that add? The Tanakama also says you are tohor. So what's the differentiation in the din of the Tanakama and the Chachamim? Ela de pali piluye ikebenayu. If it is dried out, chapped, it is cracked, then that's the difference between them. The blood that's sitting in this dried out cracks of the discharge, that's what their argument is about. That's nafkamina between them, and this is how you would explain that. Tanakama savar bibsara velo b'shvir velo b'chaticha. It says bibsara, and not in an object like the fetal sack, or not in a chaticha, not in a chunk. Vuad in the shvoferet. And that din is also true by a catheter. Bani mili heched eshiya. That's only true if the item is smooth. Aval pale pluye, if it has cracks in it, tmeya. Then she's considered to be tmeya, my taima. Bibsara greenenbay. Because that's already classified as bibsara, because the dam is external. Even though it's in the cracks, it's still external and it can touch the basar. Bata rabbanon the meymar, the rabbanon come along to say, afal gab de pale pluye. Even though it's cracked and has dam in it, ain't ze dam nida, elo dam chaticha. That's not classified as dam nida, but rather as dam chaticha. Ha, dam nida, vadai tamei. But from this you can infer that had it been dam nida, here they just call it dam chaticha, that's the problem is. But had it been dam nida in this position, vadai tamei, she would have been tamei, or the dam would have been tamei, even though it's not touching the bsar. Vafilu bishpoferet nami, sounds like even if it was in a catheter, that discharge of dam is enough to make her tmeah. So according to this explanation of the Gemara, there are actually two machlokot between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. One is with regards to Pali Pluye, where they disagree as to whether that's considered to be dam nida or not, as well as they argue about the issue of Shpoferet. And also it explains why the Gemara went in that direction, because it doesn't make sense that the Chachamim were just coming to speak about Pali Pluye when Rabbi Eliezer himself didn't even mention it. And all they're doing is giving another reason why it should be tahor. There must be something else more fundamental that they're arguing about, and that's what the Gemara is indicating, that it is the issue of shpoferet and whether we darshan bibsara or not. So Amar Abaye disagrees and says bishpoferet by catheter kuli amalo plige de tohora. She for sure is tahora ki plige bichaticha. The machloket is only when it's a chaticha, not when it is a shpoferet. So here, once the Gemara sets up that the din of shpoferet catheterization is, by everybody's belief, tahora, then we can now parlay this into an explanation of what we saw before, which is we said, ein p'ticha de kever below dam. Over here, it makes it sound like you could have p'ticha de kever below dam. That's why the woman is tahora when you catheterize her, and the dam comes out that way. That's what Abai says, kulei alma. Everybody agrees that that woman is tahora, despite the fact that her kever was opened. So what the Mefarshim explained is that this is the threshold amount of how much the kever has to open in order for there to be an certainty that there was yitziat dam in p'tichat kever. That is the size of a tube. Here, if you insert a tube over here, the Gemara says this even according to the one who says that ain't p'tichat kever elo b'dam, Nevertheless, over here, since it only opened up by the size of a tube, there is no sighting of dam. That means in order for there to be a p'ticha de kever, it has to open wider than a sfoferet, than a tube. Now, the Gemara never gives the definition of how big this tube is. That obviously presents a problem. But nevertheless, there is at least some minimum threshold that the womb has to be open in order for us to invoke the principle of ein p'tichat kever below dam. Now, Gemara says, okay, there are machloket here is about a chaticha. Mar sabar darka shalishali wrote dam b'chaticha. And Rashi over here says that the case is the pali pluye. It's a discharge of chatichat basar that has cracks in it with dam inside of it. So now the Tana Kama says, bibsara comes to exclude something that is internal to something else. And that is true of a chaticha as well. If there's dam internal to it, then there is no din of nida. The question is, when you have dam in the cracks that are on the outside, because he says over there that she is tamei'ah, because that is considered to be bibsara. Umar sabar ein darka shalisha derol dam bechaticha. The other end, the rabbonim batray in that brayta, they think that pale pluye is still Torah. That's not considered to be dam nida because it's not a normal way for a woman to see a discharge that comes out in a chaticha. Therefore, it must be the dam chaticha, not dam nida. So that's their machloket. According to Rashi, in the conclusion of the Gemara, everybody agrees that we darshan bibsara and shpoferet is excluded. The only machloket here is with regards to why a dam by a chaticha is excluded. And there will be a difference in the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Whereby Rabbi Eliezer thinks it's a problem when it's internal because of bibsara. Once you make it external in the cracks, then already it can be classified as dam nida and it can qualify to be considered as if it's bibsara. The Chachamim, on the other hand, say, yes, bibsara is applicable, and maybe even you could overcome that problem, but you still have an issue of that it's dam chaticha, not dam nida, and for that reason, it is not tmeya tumat nida over here. And that will be the machloket, according to Rashi, no machloket by shpoferet, just the machloket by pali pluye. On the other hand, the Baal Tosafot disagree with that, because over here, the Gemara explains the machloket between them as being Mar Sover Darka Shalisha Liro Dam Bechaticha. Mar Sover Ein Darka Shalisha Liro Dam Bechaticha. And according to Rashi's explanation, the meaning of Ein Darka Shalisha Liro Dam Bechaticha now is different than the meaning we had before, which is that over here it means that the Rabbonon think that this isn't Dam Nida, whereas before they thought it was Dam Nida, just the Shpoferet made it that it wasn't classified as Darka, and therefore it was Tohora. But that means now you've changed the meaning in the sequence of the Gemara of what it means, darka and ain darka. And so Tosafot's not so comfortable with that, as well as the fact that if you just wanted to explain the machloket about pale pluye, you could have just said that the machloket's about pale pluye. We've already explained that before. So it must be that the Gemara is introducing something new here, and that's what the Baal Tosafot say here. Yesh lomar, de pligei b'chaticha hasuya kemin shfoferet, v'avi chatzitza bendam la basar. That the case here is a case where it's shia, it's smooth, and that there is dam inside of the chaticha, but the chaticha is shaped like a shpoferet and is being discharged by the woman. And now the meaning of darka lirot kacha is again the same meaning that we had before, which is it normal to have a discharge of dam in this fashion, where you have basar that is like a shpoferet that's discharging the dam, and the question as to how normal that is will determine what your opinion is over here. But with regards to pale pluye, even the Rabbonon would be mitameh, meaning that the Gemara here believes that they've reversed their opinion that they said before with regards to the distinction of pale pluye, and their machloket revolves around a smooth chaticha that looks like a shpoferet with dam inside of it that's being discharged. That's now the machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. There are other Rishonim that give other ways to explain it, like the Rosh over here explains that the difference as to what the reason is for the heter of Bibsara. And Rabbi Eliezer believes that the heter comes from Chatzitza and Pale Pluye. It's not considered to be a Chatzitza. On the other hand, the Rabbanon think that Bibsara over here teaches you that it has to be a normal type of discharge. And since the Chaticha is not a normal type of discharge, therefore it's also excluded from Bibsara. And just like a Shpoferet is excluded, so is Bibsara. Rabba Amar to Kuliyama, ain't there kashli shali wrote dam bechaticha. That it's not a normal way for a woman to see dam bechaticha. Behochab isha Torah, mekord mekumo tamei kamiflege. The machloket here is whether the woman's, the dam itself, has a din of tumah. The woman herself is Torah, period. Because any dam that is discharged, either through a shfoferet, or even through a chaticha, internally to a chaticha, or even in the cracks of a chaticha, none of those are considered to be bibsara, and therefore they're all tehorim. Then we have to explain now where the Tanakhama believes that you are tmeya, and that's what Rava says. That as far as Nida is concerned, she's not a Nida, period. There was a discharge of dam. Well, the discharge of dam is determined by what you think the dam is when it exits from the womb. The Rabbi Lezer says, Aisha Torah b'dam tameh. Rabbi Lezer believes that the woman herself is tehora, she's not a Nida, b'dam tameh. But when you have dam that exits from the makor, from the womb, it has a status of av hatuma. And that makes her tameh, because it touched her on the exit. And therefore, she's now a Rishon the Tuma, the Ati Derech Mekor, because it came out of the womb. Rabbanan Sabra Isha Torah, Umekor Mekomo Dor. Rabbanan say, not only is the woman herself Torah, because she's not a Nida, but on top of that, the Dam that is coming out here is not considered to be Tameh. And since this Dam is coming out of the Mekor, which is Tahor, then there's nothing to make her Tameh over here. It's not Dam Nida. It's not Dam HaMekor that is Tameh. And it's not a birth because it's just a chatichat basar. And in any one of those cases, she would be tehora. And that's why they say that she is tahor. Not only she tahor, but also the dam that expelled by her is also tahor. Okay, we'll stop here. 8 lines down on the top of Chavbet Amud Aleph.